In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see a lot of Satan's characteristics come forth. And from these, I form the text of my message tonight. What would I do if I were Satan? What would I do if I were Satan? I wrote down seven things that I think Satan is doing today, and some things that I think I would do if I were the devil. Now, some of you might not have a hard time picturing that in your mind, but that's still not true. Don't forget that. But I'm saying to you tonight that there is a devil out there who is out to ruin people's lives. He does it subtly. The number one characteristic of Satan is subtlety. Read Genesis chapter 3 and see the subtlety of Satan. We see that in chapter 4 of Genesis, Satan's characteristic is that he makes lying promises. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we see that Satan seeks to ruin and destroy. He is actively and aggressively on purpose trying to ruin people's lives. On Revelation 12, verse 10, we see that he accuses us. And in Luke 4, verse 6, the Bible tells us that he claims all power in this world. But the truth is that he has really no power but what God allows. We see in the passage that we read tonight that there is Satan deceiving and reaching people, deceiving people in verse 3, such that there's a great falling away. I tell you, we live in a time when not more people are going to church, when less people are going to church and serving God. And those that are have been morphed in some emaciated, half-worldly type of worship that the purity and the decency of it gets destroyed and lost. Can I tell you, we are in a world where Satan is running around, ready and quick to deceive. You know, I think Satan has attacks in certain areas. I think he puts effort in some areas more than he does others, because I think he knows that if he puts his effort in certain areas, that there is a domino effect that'll occur in certain areas. And I think the devil is trying to not just knock one out, but he's trying to knock the one down so that the one knocks the other down, and the other knocks the other down, and the dominoes just keep on falling and falling. I think that's Satan's tactic today. We know that if he can get a man and draw his mind away from God, he can ruin the whole family. Satan is not dumb in how he follows his tactics. In fact, the Bible even tells us that we should not be ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant of how Satan attacks you. Satan attacks all the time. And I want to give you some things that I would do if I was the devil. How would I attack people if that was my goal in my heart? I wrote some things down. Number one, I would try to defeat preachers. If I was the devil, I think I'd go after preachers. You know why? Because if the devil can get a preacher, he can ruin a whole church. And he knows. And he's done it. Responsibility of a preacher. Heavy is that responsibility. But I'd go after preachers. I'd try to discourage them. The devil was successful with Elijah. He got him so discouraged that Elijah wanted to die. He was successful with Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached the word of God, and it cost him his life in prison. Noah did what God wanted him to do. He built an ark, and daily they came and mocked at him and laughed at him and scorned him, day after day, month after month, year after year. The Apostle Paul went through many things as a preacher. Take your Bible, hold your finger there, and go over to Acts chapter 26. Look at the book of Acts chapter 26. Notice some of the things that Satan attacked the Apostle Paul with. Acts chapter 26. Look at verse number 16. Acts 26, 16. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. I got the wrong text. I think I can give it to you, the pastor version.
He said, "We are perplexed but not destroyed. We are cast down, but there's something else there, and I can't remember what it is." What is it? Not forsaken. That's why I have an assistant pastor.
Yeah. Amen? Cast down but not forsaken. Because the joy of the ministry is in my heart, and it's in most preachers' hearts that I know. But I'll tell you what, you never know, you don't realize how many times you'd like to untangle a mess in a home or a family. And it just seems like the old devil's right there and got a stronghold. You don't know.
You don't know how many times Satan just hits you with a powerful attack.
We believe in him. But the devil is a master at discouragement. He's a master at temptation. You know, there are temptations that we all face, and there are temptations that preachers face. It is the world, the flesh, the devil, money, women, and pride. Those things still affect preachers. Amen. Got to stay away from the flesh. You know, the devil, if he can't get you discouraged and you're encouraged, then he'll go the other direction and get you proud.
Right.
Yep. Amen? If he can't get you one way, he's going to try the other. If he can't get in the front door, he'll go in the back. And if he can't go in the back door, he'll find a crack in a window somewhere. And if he can't find a crack in a window somewhere, he'll try to chop a hole through the roof. I'm saying to you tonight, Satan is after preachers, because if preachers fail God, the domino effect trickles down to people. That's why you need to pray for preachers. That's why you need to pray for me. That's why you need to pray for every preacher that you know. Prayer list, I on my prayer list, I have a bunch of preachers that I put on my prayer list and pray for them. Because they need our prayer. If I was the devil, I'd go after preachers. I think that'd be a way to do it. Fatigue, sickness, stress. The ministry is very unusual. One minute you're pulling up flowers, plunging the toilet, and then the next minute you're counseling somebody on a marriage. A minute after that, you're changing the light bulbs or playing an instrument or practicing a song. And then you get a phone call in the middle of the night. And there's a trouble and a problem. The preacher's mind often gets divided into so many different places and into so many different compartments that he has to, and he strives to do his best. But oftentimes fatigue sets in. And when he just can't get through and he sees someone's alive, we're out of control.
I say to you, this is just a little window into the world of preachers. He'll put a discouragement there. He'll put a fatigue there. He'll put pressures, financial pressures, money pressures, all kinds of pressures. And then sometimes the devil, he puts a devil in the church. Fingers, okay? But the devil, he likes to put a devil in the church just to sow a little undercurrent. That's right. Sow a little seed, you know. I didn't think that was how it should be. The devil will put an undercurrent in the church. And before long, it's a flowing river.
Yeah, that's right.
And the preacher's got to combat that when he's already dealing with fatigue and money issues and things, but boy, he's expected to smile every time. I'm just saying ministry is like no other animal on earth. But I want to tell you something, it's the best animal I've ever known.
Amen.
Amen. Well, can I tell you something? From time to time, a preacher will call and he'll say, what do I do? What do I have about this? There's times I've had to call preachers. Times I call Brother Smith. Now, Brother Lawson, here's what you need to do. And by the way, Brother Smith, you don't even know him. You may not even know him. Brother Smith has helped save this church from a lot of difficulty that we could have had a while back.
Yeah.
He gave you some good advice and I took it. And you don't even know. Most of you don't even know what happened, which is good because there's some things you don't need to know.
Amen.
Amen. They just discourage you. Amen. And the last thing I want to do is discourage somebody. I want to pick them up and pull them out. I mean, you know, the devil's hitting them, and the last thing they need is come to church and get discouraged. Church is where is an oasis. Church is where we come to get the water. Amen. But boy, that old devil, he sure tries to defeat. Paul was perplexed. You know, Paul was in prison. He spent a day and a night in the deep, in the ocean. He was shipwrecked several times. Snakes got after him. How'd you like to be on a deserted island full of snakes? No, thanks. How many of you like snakes? Anybody like snakes in here? AJ and Brother Jeremy. My goodness. Amen. They like snakes. I don't like snakes. No. If the devil was one at one time, that's all I need to know. Amen. So if I were Satan, I would try to find a preacher and attack him one way or the other, every which way. That is why God's people need to pray for preachers, encourage preachers, because preachers are getting the light of the gospel to the world.
Amen.
Where would the gospel be without the voice of preachers?
Right.
There's short preachers, tall preachers, skinny preachers, and there's ones like me. There's all kinds of preachers. God uses all kinds of people, all kinds of men, all kinds of different ways. Every man in the Bible that God used was a different person, a different personality. And by the way, you see that as God inspired his word to these men. He used these men as they were.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul doesn't write the same as David did. And David doesn't write in the scripture in the same as the way Abraham would or Moses. It's different. God uses men differently in his word.
And Satan would attack. You know, sometimes Satan attacks a preacher's family. Sometimes Satan attacks a preacher's family. Sometimes he'll come along and
put a temptation. I know a preacher, good man. do if your son got into that? I'd take a hose and wipe all the black off. Amen. I'd get him out. But you know, that affected that pastor's ministry. So I tell you, Satan tries to attack preachers often through their family. Amen. I know, dear preacher, in town here, it's been a while back, but a good preacher, good man, pastoring church and struggling just to keep going alive. After a while, he gave up on it, moved back home, and his wife divorced him. You don't know about all those things. It's sad, but I want to tell you something. Your devil is out to attack. If I was the devil, that's where I'd go. I'd find some good family and I'd start sowing some little seed. Just a little seed. And keep feeding that and growing it and hoping that a wise father and a wise mother didn't notice that was going on. Thank God for wise parents who can see seeds in their kids and nip it in the bud. Amen. Autumn gave me a Father's Day present. A little sticker with Barney Fife on it that says, nip it. But you know, sometimes when we see those things in our kids, gotta nip them early. Nip them early, because boy, a seed can grow, can't it? For more long. Someone's mind is involved in something that they're never there. Boy, you gotta stay vigilant, sober. God said stay sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's walking about. He's like a roaring lion. That's the old devil. I'd attack a preacher's family. Third thing I'd do is I'd try to silence the gospel as much as I could. I'd try to get it as quiet as possible about the gospel. Don't stand on that hilltop and preach it, preacher. Just go to your home and be quiet. Don't stand out. Have you ever noticed it's the world and the worldly people that are bold and stand out today? Us Christians ought to stand out. Amen. Us Christians ought to speak up. Us Christians ought to stand out. We ought to be seen. But if I was the devil, I'd just try to get people to be quiet. Don't pass out those tracts. Don't witness. Don't tell anybody. Just be silent. Well, if I was the devil, that's what I'd try to do. Just get every Christian to be silent. Be quiet. Don't talk to people about the Lord. Well, the old devil does. You ever been out talking? And you ever been in the store or been somewhere and you kind of talked to somebody and had a conversation? And the Lord struck your heart and mind and said, give that person a tract. Invite him to church. Has that ever happened to you? Am I the only one that happens to? The Lord says, talk to that person, give them a tract. And what does the devil say? Well, don't do that. Shh. They won't like it. I mean, that's why God put them in our pathway. That's why they're there. Amen.
But if I, you know, in Bend, Oregon, there is a
city ordinance that you cannot give the gospel. You cannot knock on doors. You cannot give people the gospel there. Somebody needs to go challenge that, because that's really unconstitutional.
Yeah, right.
Somebody needs to challenge that. God, don't call me to Bend, Oregon.
Amen. But it really does. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. In whom the God, notice the little g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When you're giving the gospel to somebody, you are giving them the image of God. Think of that for a minute. They're getting the image of God. God is telling us not to be silent. Silence is the only thing that can destroy the gospel.
Right.
Silence. Silence. How many times are we not silent when we want to complain?
Was quiet on that one. Amen.
How many times are we vocal when something's irritating us?
Yeah.
Or someone bothers us. But yet, when it's time to give the gospel, we can suddenly get lockjaw, quiet. You know, that's the old devil. That's what he's trying to do. If I were the devil, I'd just try to make the gospel quiet. I thank God for Brother Turk getting that Bible to Indonesia. Boy, you know there's going to be a lot of challenges there.
Yeah.
Going to be challenges. Just getting it in, getting it started. Woo! But you know the problem? That it's been silent too long.
That's right.
Been silent too long. We need to speak up, preach up, pray up, open up.
Amen.
Let God work in us and let God use our voice to this world. I know a preacher, Dr. Dennis Brown, used to talk to people, and one method he'd use is he'd look at somebody and say, "Hey, sir, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in a doggy heaven? Do you believe dogs go to heaven?" "Well, sure. I mean, who wouldn't believe in a doggy heaven, right?" And that's what he'd say. He'd say, "Well, if you believe in a doggy heaven, there must be a heaven that people go to, too. Can I show you how to know heaven is your home?" See, the key isn't exactly what we say. The key is not your perfection. The key is not charisma and soul winning. The key is speaking out. Giving the gospel out. If I was the devil, I'd just try to tell everybody, you can have your Christianity. You can stay in your warm and fuzzy church but whatever you do, don't tell anybody that really needs it. Just be quiet. I mean, after all, you might make enemies. Tell you what, you may make the closest friend you ever had.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So if I was the devil, I'd try to silence the gospel. Just stay quiet. Fourthly, I'd try to convince people that right is wrong and that wrong is right. I'd work on their mind. I'd try to make people think that they're doing right when they're really doing wrong, and they're doing wrong when they're really doing right.
Amen.
You know, isn't it amazing today how so many people can capitulate to the Muslim doctrine?
Yeah.
When they are terrorists and murderers at the heart, at the heart of their beliefs.
Amen.
They believe that it is spiritually right to declare jihad and murder people in the name of their God.
Right.
They believe that's spiritually right. And people capitulate to that. But when you talk about a Christianity of somebody who died for you,
that's right,
who gave his life for you, that's offensive. You can't say that. You can't talk in the school like that. Oh, but you can bring all your Muslim stuff in. The devil is making people think that right is wrong and wrong is right.
Right.
He's a master of it. Alcohol is not a sin. It's just a disease. Marijuana is okay if it makes you feel good. Immorality is all right because you have to get to know somebody. Abortion is just getting rid of a fetus, a tissue. And I'm gay because that's how God made me. These are all satanic ways of taking wrong and making it look right, and taking right and making it look wrong.
That's right.
There's something in this world that says to people, that I'm okay, you know, fine, just living in my sin. But that Christian who's across the street and goes to church on Sunday, there's something really bad about him. This is the temperature of culture.
That's right.
This is where we are. Where does it come from? It comes from a twisting of the mind from Satan himself walking about, running back and forth, going to and fro into the world. He's making people think right is wrong and wrong is right.
Amen.
You don't need, he tells the sinner, you don't need to get saved. You're fine how you are. You're just as good as the guy across the street. You don't need to worry about that. The devil's constantly working on the mind. He's trying to twist the mind of people today so that they cannot believe in God and find the truth. That's where Satan's attack is. I say to you today, don't let Satan tell you wrong is right. Because when we accept wrong as right, and we justify wrong in our own minds, we will one day take that same justification and it will become a mentality. And that's how our minds will think and function and act, because Satan works on the mind. Didn't we see that in verse 4? In whom the god of this world blinds the mind. He blinds the mind. I'll tell you something. Satan's after your mind.
Right.
He's after your mind. I mean, you turn the television on, people are weird. People are weird today, really. And I don't say that negatively against people. I say that negatively against Satan, because he has influenced people.
Right.
And people believe wrong is right, right is wrong. Do whatever you want. If it feels good, it must be right. Huh. They resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit because it doesn't feel good. We resist God because it doesn't feel good. But yet the truth is that the conviction of God comes to us to produce good fruit in our life.
Amen.
It comes for our good, for our blessings. We should be wise and hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God when he speaks to our heart. He speaks to us so that we will not believe lies of Satan. He speaks to us so that we'll know and understand the truth and not allow a lie to twist our mind and conform our mind to some twisted idea of what is right and wrong. Oh, that's what we see in the world today. That's what we see in the world today. That's why people are chained to sins and troubles and addictions. It's because they believe they're doing right. They genuinely believe they're doing right. Because they've convinced themselves. But you know what? What happens is that creates a hardened heart.
Yeah, right.
People's hearts get hard through thinking right is wrong. And when the heart gets hard, it's very hard for a person to receive Christ. Satan is good. You know, I got to hand it to Satan. He's pretty good at what he does. And you know what? He's been doing it for 4,000 years, ever since the Garden of Eden. He's been tricking and deceiving people, twisting their minds. He's been attacking, making people destroyed. God gave his life for people.
Amen.
God gave his life for people. And Satan, if he can twist their mind, he can push them into a mentality where they actually think wrong is right. Satan's good at it. You can't make somebody feel bad when they do wrong. You have to make them feel good. So you have to tell their minds that what they're doing is good. Well, everybody else is doing it, so it must be good. That's why everybody else is on their way to eternal hell forever.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible reminds us.
Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Hey, if you found everlasting life, you found something that few people have found.
Amen.
Amen. But broad is the way. That means there's a whole lot more people going on the highway headed toward hell than there is people going to heaven.
Right.
And why is that? It's not because God's not good. It's not because God didn't love them and die for them. It's because Satan has twisted their minds into believing a lie to just live comfortably. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you may die. And the truth is, ruining the minds of people today.
Amen.
And keeping them in a mentality away from the gospel. Any one of you tried knocking on doors knows barrier after barrier after barrier is in the mind of people. Can I remind you of something though? God is greater than any of those barriers.
Amen.
The word of God can penetrate. It has power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God can reach in and establish. Get the word of God. Don't be silent. Give it to them anyway. Give them the gospel. Make Satan a little bit mad. Don't you like to make Satan mad?
Amen.
Oh, I like to just, like Dr. Rice used to say, somebody went up to Dr. Rice and said, Dr. Rice, you seem to have more trials than most people. And he said, well, if you twisted the devil's tail as hard as I do, you'd have some troubles in your life too.
Right.
Amen. You know, it's a preacher's job to twist the devil's tail. Amen.
Amen.
Just like a pig, go up to a pig and watch him squeak. I hope he squeals after every service at More Baptist Church.
Amen. When people come to the altar, the devil squeals.
People get saved. Vacation Bible school, the devil's standing out there squealing. Or was that the kids in the nursery?
I can't remember. I'm not sure. But I'd convince people that right is wrong, wrong is right. Fifth thing I do is I try to get the minds of children at an early age. You know, if you can deceive a child,
by the way, the hardest person to deceive is a child. You can deceive adults, but a child knows the truth. Amen.
They may not say it for fear they're getting in trouble, but they know the truth. And if you can destroy the minds of a child, you know, the devil's working on children.
There's now cartoons that promote the gay lifestyle. You know what Satan's trying to do? He's trying to attack children at an early age.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Pokemon cards, stay away from that. Those are filled with satanic symbols.
Yeah.
Satanic verbs. Stay away from that stuff. Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know if anybody's into that today. But stay away from that mess.
Yeah.
Stay away from it.
Ouija boards. Stay away from it. Well, I'm curious.
And curiosity killed the cat. Yeah. Stay away from those things.
Be wise. Wisdom is saying no to certain curiosity.
Wisdom is saying no to certain curiosity. Wisdom says,
I don't think I even want my mind to go there. By the way,
you know how they teach bank tellers to tell counterfeit money? They don't show them counterfeit money. All they show them is real money. Because when you get so used to seeing real money that when you see a counterfeit, you'll detect it right like that. Can I tell you what? That's how we ought to be to right and wrong in our world today. Truth. When we, by the way, don't study evil things to know how evil people are.
Yeah, right.
Know the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Simple concerning evil,
right,
is what
Amen.
The Bible teaches.
We don't have to know everything that's going on. We just have to know the truth.
and love the truth. And make that what we look at. Are you still with me?
Amen.
I'm having fun.
Amen.
Number six. If I was the devil, I would distract people with pleasures and worldly attraction. You know, football season's coming up. And the temptation's going to be there. Stay home from church on Sunday night. Because we've got to watch that game. Can I tell you something? That game isn't going to matter a hill of beans 10 years from now. You know, it won't matter. But you may get something in church that'll change your life for the good.
That's right.
You may hear something that connects to your heart. And when it connects to your heart, you want to live it, and it produces. Instead, you stay home and watch your team lose again. I know these things because I'm a Broncos fan. Amen? So I'm saying to you tonight, if I was the devil, I'd just put a bunch of pleasures in front of people. Let them get distracted by fun. You say, you know, some fun things are not wrong, but if they keep you from doing what God wants you to do, they then become wrong.
Amen.
And the devil twists the fun and the good things in life that we can enjoy because we make them our priority instead of God our priority.
That's right.
And the devil uses some pleasure, and some pleasures aren't necessarily bad. I know a guy, though, he was a basketball coach, and he said, I would get so wrapped up in coaching my team that it would turn me into the flesh. Is there anything really wrong with basketball? No, not necessarily. There's wrong with some of the idiots who play it, but there's nothing necessarily wrong with basketball. But he made it a priority in his heart, and that priority overtook his heart. God kind of got pushed out. May I tell you what? That's a danger. That's a danger. Don't allow Satan to push God's priority out of your life. But that's what Satan does. You know, you notice the sports stadiums are filled.
That's right. Yep.
And the churches are empty.
Right.
And they pay $200 tickets
right. To
get in, and we don't even charge anything. Maybe we should start charging $200 tickets. Maybe then we'd fill it up. I don't know. What do you think of that? All in favor say aye. No, yeah. Heard a moan and groan there, but you know. But see, the devil's distracted people today with pleasure. And there are certain pleasures, thank God, God allows us to have that are decent, wholesome, and good. Thank God for those things. They sometimes can refresh you. But when they overtake our mind and become, they push God out and become a priority. That's when they're destructive. But that's what Satan does. You know, Satan lets people have fun till the day they die. And then they die and go to an eternal hell forever. How sad. How sad. The mind is so entertainment oriented. By the way, churches cater to entertainment today.
Yeah.
And when there's entertainment, and that's all it is, just a bunch of entertainment, I'll tell you what, the priorities of living for God get pushed out.
Yeah.
We end up living for this love of pleasures and entertainment. But it's Satan's tool today. Satan got Demas that way, didn't he? He got Demas. Demas was a faithful servant of God. But one day, Paul regrettably wrote, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was a time when Demas loved God, or he wouldn't have gone with Paul. There's a time when he was faithful, but something got his mind. Something distracted him. Something pulled him away. Man, I tell you what, I wonder how many people in this world will serve God, would quit serving God because
because some pleasure pushed God out of their life. Boy, we've got to be careful. Amen. Boy, we can't let anything in our heart. We've got to keep our heart warm with the Lord. Walking in His Word, spending time with God. We've got to keep that in there. Why?
Because I'm saying to you, it will drown out our appetite for spiritual things. It'll drown it out. Lastly, if I was the devil, I would work overtime. If I was the devil, I'd work overtime. And he does. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. You still with me? Revelation chapter number 12. Look at verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says here. Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down into you having great wrath, because, catch this, he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, the devil even knows time is short. The devil even knows he's got to get busy and work overtime. He's trying the domino effect in people's lives today, and we have to be wise to it. We have to allow God to rule and reign. We have to die to self every day.
Die to this old flesh. Die to my will. Die to my wants. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Live for God. Hold this up. Tell you if we can do that, we will defeat Satan. And our lives will be fruitful. Years ago, I was pastoring in Oregon. I'll never forget. Nothing was good. The dog was bad. Kids were rotten. My wife was mean. She still is. Everything was bad. The house was falling apart. Car. Man, I was just negative. I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? And somehow the Lord Jesus gently and quietly spoke to my heart. He said, you're here because I called you. You're here because I placed you here. You are not your own. You fall with the prize.
Amen.
Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. And I grabbed my New Testament, some tracts. I said, I'm going soul winning. You ever going soul winning when you're defeated, discouraged, don't feel like it? That's when you need to go the most. There's sometimes you go soul winning and you may not see anybody saved, but you sure came home on fire. And I'll never forget this day. Oh, it was like none other. Discouragement. I couldn't get out of it. You know how I got out of it? Grabbed my soul winning testament. I said, that's it, devil. I'm not going to let you win. You're going to discourage me. I made a deal with the devil. I said, if you're going to discourage me like this, then I'm going to go soul winning. That's how you defeat Satan. Amen. You defeat him by doing good and right in your life, not listening to his deception.
Yeah. Amen.
And I went down the street. There was a street off the church. Just some little old houses. And I knocked on a door. And there was an old man there named Furman. Lost his wife, had a full beard. You picture an old broken down old man. That was Furman. He invited me in. He was a kind man. He invited me in. I sat in this old chair. Gave Furman the gospel. Furman got saved. Right there. Can God use you to see people saved, even when you're kind of discouraged? Yeah, I think those are times when He likes to see people saved. I left Furman's house and went to the next door, knocked on the door, and there was a family, the Bell family had been our church a while back and didn't fill out a visitor card, so I didn't know where they lived. I couldn't visit them. It had been about a year. And guess who lived in that house? The Bell family. I knocked on the door. "Hey, Brother Miss Bell, how are you doing?" "Well, good, Pastor. We've been intending to come back to your church." I've heard that a trillion times. "I've been intending to come back to your church." I think, though, they meant it. Because the next Sunday they came. And the Sunday after that they came. And every Sunday after that I was there, they kept coming. And after I left, they were still coming to that church. God saved old Furman. God brought some people into his church on a day when I was discouraged like none other. So make a deal with the devil. Tell him, "All right, devil, you're going to discourage me, you're going to distract me, you're going to sidetrack me. That's it. I'm going to get my soul in the New Testament." "Oh, no, don't do that." "Yep, it's your fault. You did it. Yeah. You did it, Satan. You did it. You got me down. So I'm just going to have to go extra this week talking to people about the Lord, passing out tracts." Anytime Satan tries to attack you, recognize it and hit him back with the word. Don't hit him back with anger. That's the works of the flesh. Hit him back with the word. Amen. Oh, little devil, he's good. Can I remind you what the Apostle Paul reminded the people? Even though Satan is ugly, even though he's bad, even though he tries all these things, he told them not to be shaken, not to be worried. And the reason he did is because he knew that God was greater than anything Satan could throw at us. Satan may attack hard, but God's grace is greater.
Amen.
Satan may accuse us, but God's mercy is greater. Satan may attack you. He may try to put a stronghold in your life, but the word of God, if you go to God, it will destroy, pull down the stronghold that's in your life.
So I say to you tonight that we have overcoming power of Satan. Take in your Bible and go to James chapter 4. I'm going to show you this as I wrap it up tonight. James chapter number 4. Verse number 7. Satan doesn't have to control us. Satan has no power over us when we yield to God. James chapter 4. Look at verse 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee from you." The old devil can't handle a Christian who submits to God.
Amen.
He can't handle it. It is the one weapon that he cannot face is a Christian yielded to God. He can't handle it. You resist Satan, he will flee. That's a promise of God. Amen. When you're tempted, resist Satan. When you feel down, when you feel discouraged,
resist Satan. Amen. I'm saying tonight, that old devil,
he cannot match the overcoming power of our God and what God can do for us when we run to him. He tries, and he has a stronghold in the world, but he doesn't have a stronghold in the heart of the yielded Christian. He doesn't have a stronghold there. He can't get a root in. He has to flee.
He can't stick around that. It's too pure for him. It honors God too much, and he's into exalting himself.
But when we turn to God, we yield to him, we live for him, suddenly he flees, and God gets the victory in our life. And I tell you what, that's what I want. I want victory in my life.
Amen.
I want to live in victory. Amen? And we need the overcoming power of Christ in our life to defeat Satan. Are you defeating Satan tonight? Are you defeating him?